welcome. Can I have your attention? Okay, guys. Listening skills. You guys, I count on you for that. Matt Volbrecht and I became friends via a listserv. You've heard me talk about listservs just a few times this week. And this was one of the best listservs I've ever gotten on. I met so many wonderful people, and Matt has such an amazing amount of stuff to offer. I'm going to just introduce him as Matt Volbrecht, the tech juggernaut, my good friend. Woo!
Yes. And Matt did the stand on the table, please. You don't want to hold it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Oh, I see that right there. That's perfect. So that if we need to, we can.
Yeah. And then I don't know if we're just going to be
doing it. Okay, gotcha. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Oh, you got the AV going, yes. There you go. Oh, yeah.
Now, this is not on the slide.
Room here.
Okay. All right, I think I'm good if we just, yeah, that should do it. All right.
Seats over here. I'm going to close the door, guys.
Seats over here.
Okay. Not sure exactly this microphone likes to keep twisting, but I'll tell you what, I don't actually know that I even need a microphone because you can ask my wife and kids if I need a microphone. Yeah, this thing's giving me a little bit of a fit here. Can you all hear me okay without the mic?
Yeah!
I think we're going to be fine. I think we're going to be just fine. So welcome. This is revolutionizing your life with Apple. And what I'd like to do is, I'd like to kind of let some time at the end for questions. So you start thinking about them, and as I share with you, you keep those questions in mind or jot them down, however you want to do that. But we're going to give you some time to ask your specific questions. When I was trying to come up with a presentation for today and trying to decide what I could offer you that would be meaningful, I had to think, what can I fit into this short sweep of the clock? And there's just so much. There's just so much. And it's like, you know, there are things that I could teach you that would be little individual things. There would be other things that would take, you know, far more than one session. But what I decided to do was to base this upon a day in my life, to try to tell you how I do things, to try to explain to you what my world looks like from the technology perspective, to share with you the kinds of things that you are able to do with your Apple devices. Sometimes there will be some accessories that I'll make mention of. Sometimes there'll be some services that I'll make mention of. I also want to make note, some of you already know this from other things that I've said or other things that you've heard, I do have sighted family. I'm very, very grateful. I praise God for wonderful family. My wife and kids are here. We give a shout out to them. And they are sighted. So, you know, just like Joe mentioned yesterday, if you were at the presentation and if he wanted a color identified, sometimes he asks his wife, you know. Sometimes I ask my wife or my kids. And there's nothing wrong with that. But we also know there are so many things that we can do independently, right? There are so many things. And Apple is at the forefront of this. Apple has made it possible for us to, just to borrow from the slogan, to live the life we want.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's so beautiful. Because that's what our desire is, that we can independently navigate this world and be on the same level, because we are on the same level, right? So we ought to not be at any disadvantage just because we can't see. That ought to make no difference. And so Apple is doing just an outstanding job in making that possible. So I want to just kind of share with you, and I've got my notes here. If you hear my iPad occasionally, I have my AirPods here, so I'll probably put one in if I need to, so you don't have to hear voiceover reading my notes as I look at them. But I think I have most of this without looking at the notes, because it's basically just what I do every day. So I probably don't need notes to tell me that, but I made them in case, you know. And that's the first thing That's the first thing I want to point out is that, you know, frequently in the work that I do, I run a small business called the Tech Juggernaut.
Woo!
We're based in Pennsylvania, thank you. That always feels good. We do technology support and training. We do product setup. We do AV and home theater stuff. We do web design, okay? All of the stuff that I do, I run my business from my iPad. When I go and present or teach or talk, public speaking, what have you, I keep the notes on my iPad. I'm also involved in ministry. And there have been a few occasions where I have been up at the pulpit in our church, and I have, some people would call it preaching, whatever, you know, when I do that, I use my iPad for notes and for Bible verses. So whatever it is that I'm doing, it is the technology part of it, it has just completely revolutionized the way that I work. But I want to back up, and I want to start from the beginning of the day, and I want to walk you through a typical day, keeping in mind, of course, that there are many variables, and different days we do different things, but this just is sort of an overview of the way that things work. Now, this time of year, my wife and kids are at work and school during the day. They get home later in the afternoon. My wife is a teacher. She teaches high school math. I've got two kids, and my son is in seventh grade. My daughter is in second. So oftentimes, when they go to work, right from the very beginning, the tech begins with my day. Because the moment that they go to work, I ask Siri, is the front door locked? And is the garage door closed? See, we have some HomeKit accessories. Now, HomeKit is Apple's smart home and home automation platform. And it allows you to have complete control over any accessories that support HomeKit. You can create HomeKit scenes so that multiple accessories can be controlled at once. You can use automation so that based upon a time of day or based upon a person leaving or arriving or a number of other triggers, you can control your home. Now, HomeKit even works when you're away from home. So I can ask on different accessories right now, but I will warn you that I don't know what the signal's like here, so theoretically this may take a couple tries, but we're just going to do it. We're just going to be raw, unedited today, right?
Yeah.
So what we're going to do, turn this iPad up a little.
Folders, back button.
All right. Let's just give it a try. Whatever happens, let's just see what... Is the coffee maker on?
They're off.
And she said they're off. And that the reason she said they're off is that the coffee maker controller also has a night light in it. What's the humidity in my living room?
Humidity in the living room is normal at 43%.
Okay. So,
double tap to
say hey Siri or anything. You just make your statement.
Well, I used the top button on my iPad to summon Siri.
Okay.
Just because even though it's voice recognition, I don't know how similar my voice is to somebody else. I didn't want to set off 50 devices in here, so I used the button instead of the wake word.
Okay.
So there are a number of HomeKit accessories, and I demonstrated a couple for you. But in the morning, the first ones I always go to are, as I said, the door lock and the garage door, because that verifies that that's taken care of when they leave home. Now, many days, once they're at work and school, because I don't start my day quite as early as they do, you know, school starts very early these days, so sometimes I'll go back for a little snooze yet, and so one of the first tech things that happens is my alarm. Now, I can, of course, set custom alarms using the clock app, and I can also use the bedtime feature. Now, the bedtime feature in Apple devices allows me to schedule a bedtime and get a notification. I have it set for 15 minutes prior to the bedtime that tells me that this is the time I've specified. And if I go to bed by this time, I'll get, you know, 7 hours, 8 hours of sleep. Whatever I set it for, all of that is customizable ahead of time. Now, during the scheduled bedtime, my phone automatically, my iPad, whatever device I set the bedtime up on, goes into Do Not Disturb. Now, it's different than your traditional Do Not Disturb. When you use the Do Not Disturb During Bedtime feature, the entire screen is darkened. You do not get the notifications until the bedtime is over. Now, of course, you can interrupt that if you really need to see them. You can go into your notification center. But in general, you're not going to see any notifications during that bedtime. Now, again, there are exceptions to this. There's what's called emergency bypass. So I can have my family members and anybody else I feel needs to be, I can have them in emergency bypass for their contact so that if they text or call me, I get that regardless. But by and large, no notifications. I can even schedule downtime if I really want to, if I feel that I need to have that level of discipline or use that on, you know, my kids or anything. We can schedule downtime so that the device will not even allow me to go into any apps except for the ones that I specify. And that gives another level of screen time management. And of course, this is completely customizable, and there are always exceptions. If you have your downtime scheduled and you need an extra 5 minutes, you need an extra hour, whatever, you can always customize that because things are different on a day-to-day basis, right? Now, once I do officially get up for the day, one of the first things that I ask Siri to do is to make the coffee, unless it's already done. And a lot of times my wife has already done it before work, so there again, she's got that ready and I can wake up to the smell of freshly brewed coffee. Now, because our days are not always exactly the same every day, we don't usually automate that part of our day. We usually just tell Siri when we want to make the coffee, except on Sundays, because Sunday we do go to church. That's a given in our household. And so we have an automation set every Sunday that I think at about, I don't even remember what I set it for, I think maybe 7:30 in the morning, the coffee automatically starts brewing. As so many people have jokingly pointed out to me, Siri's not going to put the coffee in the coffee maker. You've got to load that the night before. But that starts brewing in the morning and it's ready to go. It turns off when it's time for us to leave for church or a few minutes before. And here's another really cool part about it. So this particular Sunday coming, we won't be home. So guess what that coffee maker is going to do?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing. It is not going to do it when no one is home. All of these things can be set up through Siri. Guys, this used to cost thousands upon thousands of dollars to have professionals do this, and it wasn't even accessible. It's fully accessible, and it's completely DIY, and the costs of this stuff are very, very reasonable. So that's the next part of my day. Now, I also often ask Siri to play the news. I don't watch a lot of news. It's more frustrating than anything else these days. But I do like to just get an overview of what's going on. Sometimes I use Apple News, and I am subscribed to Apple News Plus if you like to read magazines and things like that. And that's kind of why I did Apple News Plus, more for those, because, you know, National Geographic and Popular Mechanic, these different things. But in the morning, I just ask my HomePod to play the news. And it's set for NPR. You can also choose Washington Post, Fox News, and I think CNN are the choices right now. And she'll give me an overview of the top news for the day. Now, some might say, well, you also might want to check your weather. And yes, we can do that from the HomePod. But I can also check the weather in another way. Remember I told you about that bedtime? When your bedtime alarm goes off and you dismiss it, the first thing you are presented with is a screen that says good morning. And it shows you your weather conditions for the day. It shows you the current conditions, what the high temperature is expected to be, and so on. And also, the moment I put on my Apple Watch, I have a complication on my watch face. For those who don't know, a complication is anything on the watch face other than the time. So maybe a stopwatch, maybe, you know, different things like that. Well, I have a weather complication so that right on my wrist I can see immediately what the weather for the day is and what it's expected to be. So that is the beginning part of the day. Now, a lot of times while I'm eating breakfast, I will watch a show on television before I really get started with the work part of my day. So a lot of days, if I get up early enough, if I have time, I will, while I'm drinking the coffee, I'll watch something on Food Network or HGTV or something. And even that is kind of very, very enhanced by and led by, really, this tech, because we use the Apple TV. We are cord cutters. We have Apple TV and a few different streaming services. So I've got VoiceOver with everything I'm watching. If I want it, I've got audio description. I've got all the things that you would hope for in a TV experience. Now, after that, it usually is time for me to get to work. And that can either be traveling to a client, or more often than not, it is remote work with a client. So, of course, we're going to use tech for that, because we're going to use FaceTime audio. We're going to use Zoom. Zoom is a conferencing app. So we're going to do all of these things that you would expect. And, of course, while we're doing those things, simultaneously, I'm using my iPad. So I'm probably using FaceTime audio with AirPods on my iPhone, while at the same time I'm using my iPad to assist that client to take notes, to send them documents that they may need, to share other things with them, or if I need to check something else, you know, if an email comes in that requires my attention, I can be doing all of that on the iPad at the same time. Now, really, I can even do it all on the iPhone. I could do the Zoom call or FaceTime audio in combination with checking email, making notes, but I do like that sort of separation, and that's me. It's not the device. The devices do fine at multitasking. I'm the one who struggles with that in those respects, but I just like the sort of separation of having it, you know, two different devices. Now, this could be, you know, several different clients in the morning. It could be other jobs. It might be a web design, which certainly is going to be working on the iPad, in WordPress, doing the technical part of things. I work with my mother. My mom is sort of a partner with me who, when I do the technical aspect of designing websites, she does the visual aspect. So if I need a photo edited, you know, you do have photo editing capability with VoiceOver, but some of that, realistically, you're going to want a pair of eyes to bounce that off of to say, yes, this really does look good, or we need to make this adjustment or that. So, you know, sometimes there's conferencing between us working on these things together. And this is a large part of what I do in the mornings. That kind of thing, or training of customers, support of customers. And as I said, occasionally this also works with in-person training. Now, if we were to talk about in-person training, our options, if we don't have, let me back up. You know, if we want to use transit services, if we want to use public transportation, we can do that with Apple Maps and other apps, and sometimes even the local transit service systems. Of course, you guys have, of course, never heard about NJ Transit, right? I mean, you know. So there's options there. And in our case, we don't really have a whole lot of public transportation. There's a couple subsidized services, but we also could use something like Uber or a cab. And even in those cases, we're going to use the technology, right? Because certainly if we use Uber, we're going to use the app or Siri to schedule that. If we're going to, you know, call we have a local cab. So there's all different ways if we needed to do that. A lot of times I also have friends or coworkers who are able to assist with that, and we have a time of fellowship at the same time. And speaking of that, that brings me to my next point, which is lunch. And I do have a couple of friends that every week, a sort of tradition, we go out to lunch. So at least 2 days a week are usually going out somewhere to lunch, then we'll talk about the days that we don't. But let me talk about those days first, because one of the things that's really cool is that if I happen to need to do any business while I'm out at lunch, if I get a phone call, if I have to schedule a calendar event, add a contact, make a note, send a message, even take a photo, everything that I do is also waiting for me when I get home. So if I do take, I mean, some days I take my iPad with me, but other days it's just the phone. And with iCloud, everything that I do on one device is available on all my other devices. Everything I mentioned, calendars, contacts, reminders. Yesterday, if you attended, we talked about the reminders, how you can have time-based and location-based reminders, and you can tag people in your reminders, and you can even have subtasks. I didn't get to tell you that yesterday, but you can have subtasks in your reminders so that you might have one big task, like water the plants tomorrow at noon. Well, then you can put under that, these are the five plants that I need to water, and I can check off each one individually before that task is considered complete. But everything that I do on my iPhone, if I'm out to lunch with my pastor or the other gentleman that I often go out to lunch with every week, and he says to me, you know, add this event to your calendar, when I get home, that's in my iPad's calendar as well. And if it's concerning the whole family, I can add it to the family calendar because we use Apple family sharing. And so, consequently, we have a family calendar. We have a family reminders list. We have a family photo album. So all of these things are can be shared with the appropriate people when they need to be shared. If we're out at lunch and I have to give something to a friend of mine that I might be eating lunch with, like maybe a document or a video I want them to see, well, I can airdrop that to them. And airdrop is, of course, instant peer-to-peer file sharing. It does not even require the two of you to be on the same Wi-Fi network. All you need is Bluetooth and Wi-Fi enabled and be signed in with iCloud. It creates an instant, like an ad hoc Wi-Fi network between the two of you. It's completely secure, completely private, and it works for the purpose of sharing even large files between two people. Now, another thing about while we're eating lunch that we might do is we might say it's my turn to buy. And more places are, thank you, are accepting Apple Pay. And Apple Pay is absolutely fantastic. Apple Pay securely stores the information about your payment method on your devices. You just hold up that device to the card reader and you authenticate with Face ID or Touch ID or your passcode, and you have securely paid without ever sharing your real credit card number with the merchant. It is so simple, it is so quick, it is instant, and if I have gotten paid from a customer using Apple Cash, I don't even have to use my credit card. I can use my Apple Cash balance to pay for the meal or whatever it is that we're doing. Not only that, but this summer, I got the Apple Card once it was released. So this is even better because there's no better way for us to keep track of our expenses than the Apple Card. Why? Because it's fully accessible. Everything is done digitally right in the Apple Wallet app, which works flawlessly with VoiceOver. You make a payment on that Apple Card. You spend money using that Apple Card. You instantly get a notification that money was spent, and you can go back into your wallet later and see it. You can see the week's spending, the monthly spending. You can see it categorized by like services and food and, you know, different things like that. Plus, with Apple Card, you get daily cash, which means you're getting cash back every single day that you spend money. You can use the Apple Card to pay for your other bills and stuff like that as well. And in order for you to, you know, keep your finances healthy and not get behind and not accrue unhealthy interest, Apple Wallet is going to alert you of the best amounts to pay each month so that you're never in a situation where you've got runaway interest rates that just cause you to rack up more and more debt. Instead, the wallet app is going to notify you if you want to pay your full balance, pay this amount. If you want to pay your month's balance so there's no interest, pay at least this amount. If you pay this, you've cut your interest. So all of these things right in Apple Wallet. And you do have a physical card as well, but it does not have your card number on it. It is It uses the chip reader or the stripe, but it does not have a physical card number written on it. So there's no risks there. It's an absolutely beautiful system. And so that is the next part of it. Now, if instead this happened to be a day where I didn't go out somewhere and I were eating lunch at home, of course there's a million things that we could think of here, right? We could talk about identifying labels on boxes and cans and packages. We could use for that anything from seeing AI to Envision to even Prismo, which is not really even an assistive tech app per se, but still has excellent identification. And we even have a built-in QR reader right in the camera, in the control center. So there's lots of apps that we can use to identify products and read cooking instructions. And, you know, I found out that a lot of times, even if you just Google, if you already know the name of the product, and you just Google it, you can find the cooking instructions almost immediately. And if all else fails, you've always got services like Be My Eyes, where the other person can tell you, or Ira, where the other person can tell you. And of course, if you've got friends and family you can get a hold of, they can tell you over FaceTime audio. Or not FaceTime audio, FaceTime video. So they can see it. And so there are so many different options we have just for that. Now, if you happen to have a microwave or a smart oven or something that has an app, you could even do that part of it on your iPhone. But we don't have that yet, so you know, we still have Braille on our microwave or our oven or, you know, dots or whatever. But during that time, when it is time to eat lunch, if I am at home, I might watch a sitcom on TV. Now here again, it's not just watching, because we have Apple TV, so this gives me several additional benefits. The first benefit is that it allows me to use my Apple Watch as a remote for the television. I don't even have to get the remote. I can just go out to the kitchen and on my wrist, I can control the playback of the show. I can be listening to the audio through my HomePod in the kitchen rather than on the TV itself. And that's just one of the uses of the Apple Watch, of course. There are timers that I set timers on the watch. I do quick replies to texts and emails on the watch. The walkie-talkie feature, where I can instantly communicate with another person using my voice with walkie-talkie. And, of course, there's the workout features. If it's during the summer and my family is home with me, a lot of times, by lunchtime or shortly after, we're in the pool. And we can leave our Apple Watch on and actually use that for a swim workout, or at the very least keep track of how much we've done while we were in the water. And these things are waterproof, so there's no problem swimming with your Apple Watch. Yep. Now, in the afternoon, another thing that often happens is it's time for me to do some recordings. With these classes that we teach, we are offering free courses online on the subject of learning voiceover and using your iPad instead of a traditional computer and other classes. And a lot of times, we make what I call clean recordings. That is that outside of the classroom, I'll just sit down and record, you know, a 45-minute, hour-long tutorial of everything we talked about in class with demos, so you can hear voiceover doing all these different things. And you better believe that is done using technology. Now, sometimes I'll use the Voice Memos app, sometimes GarageBand, sometimes other apps, just depending on exactly what I'm trying to do. But I'm using my iPad for all of it. And sometimes I have to make blog posts. Sometimes I even have to make podcasts. Oftentimes I do those podcasts at night, but again, I'm using my iPad with an app like Anchor or Backpack, and I'm making and editing the entire podcast right on my iOS devices. So audio editing, video editing, blogging, all done right from the Apple devices. All done with VoiceOver. Now, usually by this time, if and another thing, of course, is actually teaching the classes, because we use the Zoom app to teach these classes. And so we are using Zoom. We're also using Dabble. I don't know if anybody's heard of Dabble in here. We're using both of those apps to, and I've got a team of instructors that I work with, and they are, you know, assisting with that as well. And we're doing all of this with our devices, and we're not doing it with sighted help. Every one of the instructors on our team is visually impaired. Most of us are totally blind. And so we are not using, you know, sighted help. We're managing the Zoom call and the iMessage where people can send support questions during the classes. We're managing the Dabble stream with, you know, external microphones and all of these things entirely from the convenience of our Apple devices. And we're not worrying about, is this actually going to work? Can we really do this? Because the answer is absolutely that we can.
Please turn your phone off.
Now, if we look a little further ahead in the day, sometimes the kids get off the bus at our house. Other times they go over to visit their grandma for a couple hours first. But if I want to know how close the bus is, I can use the Find My app, formerly called Find My iPhone. My son has an iPhone. My daughter, got to wait a couple years yet. She's a little bit younger than he is, much to her chagrin, but she knows she'll be getting one. But I can look at my Find My app to see exactly when I need to go outside. Because, you know, in the summer, you're probably already, at least if you're like me, I'm outside already. Half the time, I'm teaching classes outside with my lemonade right there, and the entire class can hear the birds chirping. But in the wintertime, we don't want to be waiting outside that long. So I can look at the Find My app, and I can see how close his bus is getting when I actually need to go outside. And if the doorbell should ring before I'm expecting him, I have the Ring video doorbell. So I can communicate with whoever is at that door, find out who it is, and do everything that I need to do. When the kids get home, of course, technology is just throughout the rest of the day, too, whatever it is that we might be doing, whether we're playing at home. You know, I can read to my kids. I mean, how awesome is that I can sit down with a book, with Apple Books, I can read to them, and if there's things that they want to look up, I can tap on a word and have it immediately looked up in the dictionary. Some of the books have audio and video and photo galleries in them, and they can see those while we're reading together. We can play games together on our iPad or Apple TV. Even if we are doing things that are physical, you know, we're going outside and we're playing ball or we're in the pool or we're doing these things, there's still a tech aspect to this, if for no other reason, for the fact that we can keep the workout going or keep track of that or, you know, respond to a message while we're out there. See, I don't believe, I have a very different opinion. Do I have time to share this? Let me see. I don't want to get off on a soapbox if I don't have time. I'm going to, but I'm going to make it quick. It'll be a very small soapbox. I don't think you have to decide between technology and physical activity. I don't think you have to decide between dinner and tech. I think the two can exist together. Yes, there are times that you might actually be watching YouTube or play an Xbox, and sure, there are times you might restrict that, but tech can always be a part of what you do in some small way. When it comes to dinner, we can be using our iPad for recipes. When we go to the grocery store, we can be using our iPhones and our watches for the grocery list. That's how we keep our grocery list. When we're driving places, we use Apple Maps with turn-by-turn directions. Everything that we do is sprinkled in some respect with this Apple technology. And sometimes it's more invasive than others. I don't mean invasive in a negative way, but sometimes it's more dominant or prominent than others. And sometimes it takes a back seat to whatever else is going on. But it's always there in some form, in some capacity. When it's the end of the day and I'm reading some devotionals or whatever before bed, it is there and I'm using it. You know, again, I've given multiple examples with TV and with cooking. And when we go out to restaurants, you know, it's one thing when my family is there, yes, they're going to read the menu to me. But, you know, it's another thing to go to a restaurant Please don't misunderstand me. Nobody be offended by what I'm about to say, okay? Because I know there's a place for Braille, but let's face it, Braille menus are not always available and they're not always up to date. Okay? But you know what is up to date? The website, Yelp, Apple Maps, those places where you can go to access the menu for the restaurant is up to date. Why? Because the public demands it, because it has to be. And why can't we use that same technology to do what it is that we need to do? If we want to check sports scores, if we want to check flight information. Man, it was awesome booking our train tickets here, and we had them in Apple Wallet, and we would get notifications of the train status, and we would see all of this in the process of doing it, and our hotel, everything in the itinerary, everything in the calendar. I mean, all of this stuff that is made possible when I'm creating documents, you know, doing a spell check where we set the rotor to misspelled words, and then, you know, we swipe up and down to hear the next or previous misspelling, and we swipe left and right to choose the replacement. Or maybe we don't do it that way. Maybe if you're like me, as you're typing, you hear that a word is misspelled, because VoiceOver will tell you. So what do? You go back, you select that word with your text selection rotor, then you set the rotor to edit, and you choose replace. And it brings up a menu of replacement options for that word. I hardly ever do the global spell check because I do it as I'm typing. The ability to do this stuff, you know, with pages, we can do complex formatting. We can do paragraph styles. We teach you this in the free courses, by the way, and it gets on people's nerves because we make you do complex formatting. But I'm telling you, the ability to do this, my friends, I have written a book using Apple Pages. I've written actually a couple of them, but one of them is a book about the Titanic and the formatting and all of these things, and it's been published to the Apple Bookstore all using an iPad, all using Pages. It's what you can do is absolutely incredible, and I think that hopefully this gives you a little bit of an idea of the kinds of things you can do. Speaking of the kinds of things you can do, even though I got Do Not Disturb on, I can see somebody's calling my house right now. I can see who it is. Looks like a telemarketer.
I think we all had that on.
And that was not planned, by the way. That just worked out really conveniently. So thank you to whatever political survey that was or whatever for attempting to do that right now. So what I want to do is really let it up to you and open it up for these next, you know, 10 minutes or whatever we have left here, just to take some questions, see what we can help you to understand. And, you know, I'm around, and we've got more business cards here. We're running out of the Braille ones, but I can airdrop a contact to you so it's, you know, accessible in your phone, email, message, whatever you want. And we do have some print business cards for, you know, parents or trainers or anybody else who has some sight and can see the print. And otherwise, you know, you can get a hold of me, and as I said, we're offering free courses. I offer paid one-on-one training, too, but we're also offering these free courses, and they really, I think, have impacted a lot of lives from at least what
sure
we've been told. So, I want to leave it up to you, your questions.
Can I ask
you
a question real quick?
Hold on, you have to wait to be recognized. I heard Brian Stevens.
Yes, I
go
did
ahead.
You were talking about the using the Apple Wallet for the training. I know, like, when I take AmTrak down to Washington, they need something to scan. Can they actually, like, mark your ticket as proper from Apple Wallet?
Yes, they can. And so here's the thing with that. Up until one or two updates ago, it was not possible to book the disability discount in the AmTrak app. Now it is.
Oh, wow.
Because you can book that in the AmTrak app, when you get the notification that your reservation has been made, there's a little button there that says add to Apple Wallet. And when you do that, it gets added to your wallet. If you have more than one leg of your journey, more than one train, you just three fingers scroll left and right through the various pages in the ticket, in the wallet app, and you pull up the one that the conductor wants. They come right around and they just scan it right on the screen of your phone.
Oh, wow, thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
Ellen Sullivan.
Good.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I have a question. Because I'm like Jennifer, I'm going to be brand new to everything on this iPad. Could you just give me an idea of the price range? Like, I'd like to know the product that you have, how much that costs, and what you would recommend for a beginner iPad user.
Okay.
Good question.
Good, very good. Yeah, so up until about a week ago or 5 days ago, I actually had the beginner as you called it, kind of the entry-level iPad. I had the cellular model with extra storage, but really that iPad is fantastic for just about anybody. I got a deal through my phone carrier, who happens to be Sprint. Now that should cause some applause here. NFB, Sprint, the NFB reader. Happens to be Sprint.
Yay.
Yeah. And so I now have an iPad Pro. Now that is being financed. That one starts at like $749 and goes up to over $1,000. But the basic seventh generation iPad actually starts at $329. For 32 gigs of storage, $429 for 128 gigs of storage. Then you add about $130 if you want cellular capability right on the iPad, which is something I haven't always had. I usually just use my phone as a hotspot, but you know, when you get them through Sprint, they have it, and it is nice to have that. So you know, you could figure, especially Black Friday, you're going to probably be able to get them for under $300 to as high as probably $1,300, and it just depends on screen size, processor, the camera, again, whether or not you want cellular capability, how much storage you want. If you are interested in us working together on this and you'd like us to talk more one-on-one about your specific needs, and I could advise you with a more qualified opinion after I hear your exact situation, I'd be happy to talk with you either if you find me this weekend or else give me a call next week.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to pick up one of your cards.
Okay, excellent.
Chris?
Go ahead.
Yes. How do you make a shopping list in Notes on your iPhone?
Okay, so if you want to use Notes, I'll just...
June 56, can try again.
All right. I'm going to use... Now, I don't normally use Notes, I will tell you that. And the reason I don't is because I like an app that is dedicated to grocery lists that will allow me to have item categories and stores and stuff like that. But I will show you first the Notes. I've turned it down just for a minute, just till I get this set up. I'm going to create a new note. And now, I've just put a test grocery list here. What we're going to do is we're in the edit field of Notes, and we're going to swipe to the right.
Edit button.
You hear edit.
Add table.
Add table. We don't want to do that.
Text styles.
Text stuff.
Pi. Prediction. Cap pi.
Go past these predictions.
If prediction checklist off button.
Everybody hear that? Checklist off.
Checklist style for the current selection.
We turn that checklist on, and then we type an item and press return. Milk. Return. Eggs. Return. Bread. Return. Soda. Everything you type is a check box, a checklist item. You can double tap that item to check it off, and with a simple setting under settings and notes, you can make it so that the checked items automatically go to the bottom of the list. So it is quite possible to use a checklist in notes to make your grocery list. It's also possible to use reminders, but I use an app called Grocery. Now, Grocery adds the ability to have the sort of a lot of actual abilities. It adds inventory, so you can keep a running inventory of the items you have. It has the ability to add expiration dates so that when something expires, it automatically gets added to your list. It has smart sorting based upon the store that you're in. But the cool part is it still uses the Reminders app. And because it uses the Reminders app, that means I can use Siri and I can say, add pizza to my grocery list.
Okay, add it to your grocery list.
And there you go. And now when I open that app, it will be right in there for me to see, and it'll be sorted according to the store that I go to. There's also another, if you don't care for the layout of that app, there's one called AnyList by Purple Cover is the developer. That one also works with Siri, though not as completely as the grocery app, but both of these apps have syncing with other users, so you create a free account and you can share, you know, with a family member, a roommate, whatever, and they also have notifications, you know, so you could be in the car and your wife could be in the store and you suddenly get a craving for chocolate chip cookies. You add them to the list, she gets notified, hey honey, I want these things, so and sometimes, but not
is it free?
Both of those apps are free, but they are supported by optional subscriptions, and if you subscribe, you get extra features. Each one of those is, I think, about $10 or $11 a year. I think grocery is only $7 or $8 a year, actually.
Anybody else?
Anne-Marie Cook?
Go ahead.
Yes, hi.
Hi, Matt. Thanks for being here and for sharing your vast knowledge with us. Do you have any concerns at all about security with home appliances and you know, is the door open, et cetera?
It's a really good question. So, in case anyone didn't hear her, do we have any concerns about security with home, you know, door locks and different types of things of that nature? The quick answer is no, I really don't. The more extensive answer, first of all, Apple does things differently than any other manufacturer when it comes to this stuff. So if somebody walks up to you and says, oh, I don't want a HomePod because I can't order Domino's pizza like I can on my Amazon Echo or whatever. Okay, yeah, maybe right at this second you can't, but there are reasons for that. And the number one reason for it is because Apple anonymizes all of its data. It's never tied to you. No one knows who is making the request. Now, they also use military-grade encryption across the board, and HomeKit devices have to be encrypted end-to-end. So that's the second reason. And the final point is that, you know, there really is, I think, a point at which, and for some people, you know, like me, maybe your faith in God plays into this, but even if not, here's the bottom line. There's no unsinkable ship out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, we just have to make a decision. I mean, we all have to get in a car without being able to drive ourselves. We have to get in that car with people who are driving. We sometimes have to grab onto somebody's arm and let them lead us to places. In anything you do, there's going to have to be a trust factor. I think that the home automation aspect of it is absolutely no different from any of that other stuff. If anything, more secure than some of it.
I would think if it's connected to the internet, it can be hackable. Like you said, there's no unsinkable ship.
Right.
So, you know, if you have a pacemaker, for example, then you reach your medical professional through the internet. I just don't have a whole lot of confidence in that.
The best things that you can do are secure your Apple ID with two-factor authentication, make strong passwords, and use iCloud Keychain. Do not use, you know, I know we always want to default to, you know, our dog's name and date of birth for our password because it's easy to remember. There is a reason they tell you to do random letters and numbers, and there is a reason they tell you to do them different on every website. And so, you know, do that. But let iCloud Keychain do it. Again, that's military-grade encryption. It stores your passwords so you don't have to remember them. I don't even know what half of my passwords are because they're just in Keychain. But, you know, use these features. Use the two-factor authentication. Use a strong device passcode with biometric authentication, whether it's Face ID or Touch ID, whatever you have. And then the common sense factor, right? So, you know, we don't open emails from people we don't recognize. You know, we don't do these kinds of things. There's a lot that we can do to assist in that security.
Thank you. And one last follow-up. How do you get to Apple Keychains?
So that is under Settings.
Okay.
And then you tap on your name and tap on iCloud. And that's where you make sure that it's turned on. And then anytime you're on a website or an app that asks for one, it should automatically generate the password and say, do you want to use this recommended password? And it'll be stored in your keychain. When you go to a website that needs it, you just look right above the letters like U, O, and I. Right above those letters on your Apple on-screen keyboard is what they call the quick bar. And that will have the autofill. It'll say password for this website. Or, you know, whatever, and you just double tap that,
okay.
And then you authenticate, and it automatically inserts it.
Thank you.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Time for one more, and that's it.
Betty Herman.
Very good.
Yes.
Just real quick, I just wanted to find out what the range was. You were talking about the app to find out when your son or whoever was coming home. What's the range?
Oh, it's actually not, because it's using GPS, so it's anywhere in the world.
Oh, great. Okay.
Yep, anywhere in the world. And that's a built-in app. And when you use family sharing, everybody in your family is automatically added to it.
Yeah.
Anybody else would have to give you explicit permission. You know, you can't just track somebody random without them knowing it, and nobody can track you. But you can set that up. And then, yeah, anywhere in the world, as long as they have signal, either Wi-Fi or cellular, then yes, you're good to go.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, I want to thank Matt, and I want to thank the audience. Let's hear it.